This is the word of the Lord found in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 16. Hebrews 13, starting with the first verse. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I want to thank each of you for being here this morning. The day at the Lord's table is important. I very much appreciate your presence, appreciate your prayers, your love for one another and for me. I ask that you pray that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ alone be glorified, but that your brothers and sisters are blessed, and that you yourself would hear and rejoice in the gospel and the guidance of God's word. Seems like a lot of different subjects there that have just been read, and indeed taken separately they are. One of the most helpful messages I've ever heard on this particular portion of Scripture, though, is by Brother J.R. Rakes, whom I miss until I see him again. But he made the point, and it seemed to clear a lot of things up for me. Verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. That brotherly love is kindness. It's friendship. It's the kind of fellowship that should exist between members of the church. As a matter of fact, the Greek word there for brotherly love is Philadelphia. So if you wanted to stick the Greek word in there, you could say, let Philadelphia continue. But that's what that means, is philo is love, and Adelphia is brother. And so this is to love one another as brothers and sisters in the church. Let it continue. Let it flow. Let it go on. Let it abound. There's the commandment that the Holy Spirit gives the writer of Hebrews, is to let that kindness, that brotherly kindness, abound, flow out, go on. And then, instead of just stating it generally, the things that I just read after that in verses 2 through 16 speak specifically on how you go about doing that. That is, it's very practical. How do you let brotherly love continue? How do members of a church treat one another, and what attitudes and actions go on so that that fellowship will flow, so that it will go on and abound and continue? What do you do specifically? And if you have your Bible with you, follow with me so you can see these lessons. All of this in support of the commandment, let brotherly love continue. Verse 2 speaks of let it continue by showing and receiving hospitality. So verse 2 deals with hospitality. Verse 3 deals with mourning with those that mourn. So it's compassion. Verse 2 teaches hospitality. Verse 3 teaches compassion. Verse 4 teaches faithfulness. Marriage is honorable in all. Verses 5 and 6 go together and teach thankfulness. Now you may think, well, what does this have to do with love for brother and sister? This sounds like an attitude toward God. Well, you'll see as we get specifically into it, but this attitude toward God calls for a series of actions and ways of communicating, and it actually is a way to have a better fellowship with your brothers and sisters in church. As a matter of fact, it's a good thing for relationships that are not simply in the church, but also in marriages, child raising, work, school. These are things that would promote friendship in a number of areas, but particularly the fellowship, which includes friendship, within the church. So verse 2 has to do with hospitality, verse 3 with compassion, verse 4 with faithfulness, verses 5 and 6 teach gratitude. Verse 7 teaches, verse 7 and 8 teach attentiveness to the teachers. Verse 9 teaches doctrinal purity. Verses 10 through 14 speak of closeness with Christ and how this love and the ability to practice brotherly love have been obtained. So verses 10 through 14 all of a sudden focus on what won all of this for us. It's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and speaks of our willingness to forego popularity as He suffered without the gate for us. Verse 15 speaks of praise, and then verse 16 with communication and generosity. So there's six lessons really there that support let brotherly love continue, and then there's also that focus on verse 10 through 14 between lesson 4 and lesson 5 and 6 on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, verse 2, that's the first one, has to do with hospitality. Verse 3 is the second one, has to do with compassion. Verse 4 has to do with faithfulness, that's the third. And then you have verses 5 and 6 to do with thankfulness. Verses 7 and 8 with attentiveness to teachers. Verse 9 with doctrinal purity, which is connected to that. And then you have verse 15 with praise and verse 16 with generosity. And so I may have miscounted there, but all of those lessons help your fellowship. It helps it to continue as that command. Let's just real briefly look at each of those. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. One of the ways that your fellowship continues and abounds within the church is hospitality. I mean, not only feeding folks at lunch, but occasionally you staying in other folks' homes as a church matter and receiving others into your home. Now, this has been a way of life for me for the last 37 years. I was 20 years old when I joined the Primitive Baptist, and was just amazed at a custom that carries on. I hope that the next generation picks up on this custom, because not only is it a joy, but it's scriptural. That is, keep church company in your home. And you go visit and be church company in somebody else's homes. I've had occasions when I've spent the night in very fine, in a material sense, homes and very humble ones. And you know what? I have felt just as welcome in one as the other. The question is not to impress your guests. The question is to welcome them. It's to make them want it, to let them know that you're glad to have them. I've Remember one occasion when I was 24 years old and my assignment in the Pacific had ended. I was coming back to report in the Washington, D.C. area, and I had met the pastor of the church in Los Angeles at a meeting at Cincinnati and just was really impressed with the message the Lord gave him. And I thought, if I ever get a chance in L.A., I want to drop in there where he's the pastor. Well, coming back from Honolulu to Atlanta, my airplane stopped in Los Angeles, and it just happened to be a Sunday morning. So I scheduled my flight with about an eight-hour layover and got in there and rented a car and drove till I found the place and enjoyed the meeting greatly. Well, the only person I'd ever met there was the pastor, and he had business to take care of immediately afterward. And one of the members there said, we're going to have lunch over at my house here. Just have a sandwich. Why don't you come with us before you catch your airplane? And so we went over there and we just had sandwiches and cold drinks and chips and things and sat around the table, and there were, three or four families that went. We were just around the kitchen table in the kitchen eating sandwiches. And I'll tell you, after an hour and a half of lunch, cutting up and laughing and meeting these folks, I felt like I had known them all my life. It was such a rich experience. I made it to Washington, D.C., got my next assignment. They sent me back to California. I met with those folks for the next month. It was like another home to me. And it happened just because someone was willing to entertain me as a stranger. What a great blessing it was. Some folks have entertained angels without being aware that they were angels. Make sure that you exercise the gift of hospitality, not only by welcoming others in your home, but by you going and receiving that welcome in their homes. If you don't do that, not only have you missed out on a great dimension in the kingdom of God, in the church, but you miss this commandment here. Be not forgetful. Don't forget to do this. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. And I appreciate Sister Annis thinking of the folks in the storm path. There are folks that are hurting there. I've heard that Brother Rick mentioned before, there are Christians that are under severe persecution, particularly in places like Africa and sometimes the Philippines and Southeast Asia at this time. They are being persecuted for their belief in the Savior that's described here in this book. We need to remember them in our prayers. It's something that to let brotherly love continue. Verse 2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Verse 3 says, remember them that are in bonds. It's a use of your memory and a use of your home and a use of your prayer time. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. There's a connection between you and them. You are children of the same God. And as they are in bonds, you remember them even if you don't know them. Ask God's prayer on His children that are bound and suffering adversity as being yourselves also in the body. This is a manifestation. Union Church is a manifestation of the local body of Jesus Christ. Christ is our head. But one day, the whole body is going to meet. When the Lord raises His children from the dead, then is going to be the great assembly. Every child of God from the beginning of creation until the time of His return gathered together as the body of Christ, and the Lord Jesus revealed as the great shepherd of the sheep and as the foundation of our salvation. And we find that we were in the same body as these folks. Verse 4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now the judgment here may be eternal, but for God's children it's not. We know that David fell guilty to the sin of adultery, a cruel and a thoughtless sin, and yet he's a child of God, and his spirit and soul is in the presence of the Lord God by God's grace and mercy. And yet, if you would have fellowship continue, particularly in the church, take care that you don't commit sexual sins. You think that, well, nobody knows, so it's okay. No, it hinders you from being able to fellowship. Your soul is then guarded. You're watching. And if it happens within the church, then people start having to divide up. They feel like maybe they need to choose sides between this one and the other. And there are these a coldness, and walls begin developing because of sexual indiscretion and sexual infidelity. Be faithful to your wife. Be faithful to your husband. That is one of the bases that's needed, not only for your fellowship with God, but also for fellowship with one another within the church. Marriage is honorable in all. We live today in a civilization where marriage is often disparaged. It's put down. People look at the divorce rate and say, well, I don't want to risk that. And so now they have casual sexual encounters or live together or something. It's a timid and a cowardly thing. People are afraid to commit to one another because there's so little faithfulness. But if you would be Christ-like, remember the view of him presented in the book of Revelation. He rides on a white horse, and there's a name across his vesture, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he has eyes as a flame of fire, and he is called the Faithful and True. If you would be Christ-like, you will be faithful and true. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. For a married couple, the bed is clean and pure and right in God's sight. For a couple that's not married, it's dirty and filthy and displeasing to God, and something that we need to confess before God and repent of. For whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Verses 5 and 6 deal with thanksgiving. Let your conversation be without covetousness. What is covetousness? It's envy. It's wanting something that somebody else has. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Look at the way civilization is going now. I look at countries across the world, and I look in this nation, and we have this idea of the 99% being envious of what the 1% has, wanting what somebody else has, keeping up with the neighbors, trying to out-impress somebody else, desiring that which belongs to another person. What you're saying in that kind of attitude or that kind of action is what God has provided for me is insufficient. God has not done a very good job of his providence with me. Whereas if you're thankful for what God has given you, you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, with regard to class warfare and envy, I think we should exert every effort to make sure that there is a what's called a level playing field. That is, that the laws and the rules apply equitably to all, so that if someone provides a good product or service and somebody provides an inferior product or service, he can't go and use the force of government to maintain the sales of his inferior product and service and put this better one out of business. I don't think that using government to divert income to one group, whether they be rich or poor, instead of another group, is a just thing. There ought to be a just and equitable means whereby people are able to engage in their sales and their services and their purchases, where simply the honesty and the law of keeping your word in a contract is preserved. But the idea of here's somebody that has, and here's somebody that has not, and using the force of government to go and get that which somebody has and transfer it to somebody that has not, because the has not is envious and covetousness, and covetous of what somebody else has. This is not going to let brotherly love continue. You can't automatically assume that somebody is bad because they have more than you do. That's just wrong. You can't automatically assume that somebody is good because they have more. You can't assume that somebody's bad or good because they have less. But the main thing is to be grateful for what you have, and those things that you desire beyond that, ask God for them and work hard for them. Let your conversation be without covetousness. That is, let your lifestyle be without envy. And be content with such things as you have. That's gratitude. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God himself is faithful in provision. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Verse 7 then and verse 8 say, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Those which have the rule over you, if you look in the center reference, you'll see what that means. It means are the guides to you. So you can read this as if remember them which are the guides for you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is, God sends a teacher, a minister, an elder, and he guides in the understanding of the word, and his emphasis is on the unchanging Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember those teachers. Now you remember them, and I've just been blessed the way that y'all remembered me, helping me financially. But do remember these teachers in your prayers. Because I'll tell you what, it's not such a case where a man just, he's got preaching figured out. And he's going to preach no matter who the audience is. And it's just a matter of personal skill or something. That's not the way the gospel works. You know why when the gospel comes in power? It's when some of God's elect children have a great need of being fed, and they're calling out to God, and God sends someone to feed them. That's how it works. Even the Apostle Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, for our word, we know your election of God, brethren, for our word came unto you in power and in much assurance and in the Holy Ghost. He said, the reason I know you folks at Thessalonica are elect, chosen of God before the foundation of the world, is I was able to preach. Now, if the Apostle Paul doesn't preach unless there's some hungry child of God out there, how much less do you think I preach if there's not a hungry child of God out there? So you remember them that have the rule over you by coming to God and saying, Lord, send me the gospel. Whoever, it may be through my pastor, may be through a visiting preacher, might be through a tape message, but however, Lord, I need your word. I need to be fed. Please send that to me. Lord, bless the man of God. Give him boldness to speak that which is right. If his conversation is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You get somebody that purports to be a teacher, and that's not the end of their conversation. That's not their goal. That's not their focus. Beware. Beware. But if you've got a teacher and they're the end of their conversation, that is the goal of their lifestyle and their message, is the Savior himself, his unchanging grace, remember such a teacher. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Brothers and sisters, if you would have close fellowship, Remember the doctrines of grace and don't be carried away with other doctrines. You know why? Because if you get carried away with other doctrines, and I've seen this happen before, you start having a divergence of opinion on what the Bible teaches about grace and salvation. You may still love that person personally, but after a while you realize that your fellowship is hindered because you believe something so different about the matter. And you have to realize salvation by the sovereign grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, as taught in the Bible, is not believed by very many people on the earth now. And when you find somebody being drawn aside with false doctrine, then you reach out and try to help them and bring them back. But if that person goes on and they're carried away with strange doctrines, it does hinder your fellowship. There's no beating around the bush or sugarcoating that. You may still have a high regard for them. You may still think a lot of their integrity. But you realize there's something you once held in common that you no longer hold in common. And it hinders the kindness and the flow of brotherly love. Then, verses 10 through 14 speak of something wonderful. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. He was just talking about the false doctrine of salvation by works, that the heart is established with meats rather than grace. And he's going about to prove that salvation is by grace. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. We've got a way of worshiping, of going before God, which people that serve the tabernacle in the sense of continuing the law of worship once it was fulfilled, or any salvation by works, they don't enjoy it. We've got a way of thinking about God and worshiping God. There is an altar that you have, and you've got a right to it. It's part of your inheritance. He goes on to say, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. So they were to offer the blood on the altar and the fat of the beast on the altar, but the skin and different portions of the beast were taken outside the camp and there burned. And it says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. When our Lord Jesus Christ, as the fulfillment of all the sacrifices in the law, was crucified, they tried him there in Jerusalem, and yet they took him outside the walls of Jerusalem, there on the hill of Golgotha, and there he was crucified between two thieves, and he shed his blood, and in the darkness God poured out his wrath on his Son, and he there paid for our sins. He was outside the gate. He was outside the city. There inside the city were the lights and the homes and the people celebrating Passover. And there was the government, there were the religious leaders, and there were the businesses, and all of that was going. Where outside the gate was this lonely hill where the Savior there with thieves and those that mocked him was dying for our sins and paying the price for our salvation and our eternal life. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. That is, let us be willing to be unpopular, if that's what it takes, in his service. It may be something that the world doesn't approve. It may be something that's not hip. It's not cool. It's not considered sophisticated. It's considered old-fashioned. It's considered very uncouth. And yet, to go forth from what's considered cool and sophisticated in this world and say, I want to follow the one that died for me, let's do it. We just sang about that. Jesus, and shall it ever be, a mortal man, ashamed of thee. Ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glory shines through endless days. Should we be ashamed of him, or should we go forth outside of that which is popular, outside of that which seems enlightened, and declare our allegiance to the Son of the living God, even in a world where his name is often despised? For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. It may seem unpopular in this world, but this world will not last, whereas his kingdom shall abide forever. Man in all his glory is as the flower of the field. It's here today. The wind blows over it and it passes away. But the word of the Lord God shall abide forever. Verse 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. One way you let brotherly love continue is by engaging in praise, singing, prayer. You say, well, that seems more like it's between me and God. What does that have to do with brotherly love and fellowship with other members of the church? Remember what Colossians 3:16 says? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in spiritual songs and psalms and hymns. That is, as you sing hymns unto God and you praise him, the words and the understanding of those songs communicates to your brothers and sisters, and it enables them not only to have more of the true doctrine, but it enables them to be encouraged and have more of the gratitude, and that promotes the fellowship within the church. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Do good. Talk among one another. Communicate. Communicate also means give when there's a need. To help them out financially, help them out materially, help them out physically. Help them out, though, by communicating. Do good. That's a sacrifice. That's an altar. That's something you present. You take your time or your means or your prayers, and there you are offering them up to a brother or sister for Jesus Christ's sake. The Lord considers that a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, and with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. If you want brotherly love to continue, you know, we're blessed here with a loving church. We are. There's brotherly love here. Many years for some, just a few for others. That's not the metric that matters. The metric that matters is a true friendship in Jesus Christ that is established by the Lord and continues. And if we would have it continue, there's some ways that we need to live. And Hebrews 13, verses 2 through 16, describe a little more how we let brotherly love continue in a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you.